Going to be having the debate coming up here live on WWRV. That's Brother Arnold debating Jerry Kirk on the lunar or the solar Sabbath. I want you to stay tuned. I think you'll enjoy it. Take your notebook, write down the scriptures. It might be instrumental in saving your soul. In the great and the magnanimous name of Yahweh. So, we're so delighted to have you in here tonight. And tonight is part two of this debate that is going to happen here just in a few minutes. And this is the eighth day of July. And we want you to stay tuned. Coming up is the debate live. Just as soon as Brother Arnold and Jerry can work their communication links up. They'll be up. So, enjoy the music. And I love you. In the name of Yahweh.
Calling me home. Mountains rising in my soul. Higher than the dreams I've known. Misty-eyed, they cling to me like Smoky Mountains. Fiddle full of melody. He smiles with his eyes, but the lines on his...
Greetings in the name of Yahweh, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We appreciate each and every one of you who has tuned into this program. We're having again tonight, we're going to discuss about the true Shabbat and the Lunar Sabbath teaching. And we have Brother Arnold on the line with us. In fact, I think we're going to go on through this one here and to the next broadcast, probably about an hour and a half tonight.
5-minute intervals. And
okay, I'll
stop you when your 5 minutes is up. So, Brother Arnold, when you start talking, I'll start your time.
And I want to give my number, address, and website, so you can go to a lot of this information we ain't gonna be able to get on here, but you can go to our website at lunarsabbath.info. My phone number, their code 770-083-8542. We're doing a live broadcast, we're recording it, and we're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You can write Brother Arnold at 3466 East Hightower Trail, Conyers, Georgia. That's Conyers, Georgia, zip code 30012. And we want to point out some points here. And as I said last week, it's not how many questions you ask, it's how many you answer. Man don't answer a question, he either don't know or he's hiding something. And I'm willing to answer all of Brother Jerry's questions. And I want to make a few points. Point number one is the Word of Yahweh says and teaches that the Sabbaths are intermission, called Moeds in Hebrew, Leviticus 23, verse 2 and 3. He said, these are my feasts, or Moeds in Hebrew. And the first one there mentioned is talking about the weekly Sabbaths throughout the year after 6 working days. Now we believe Ezekiel 46, 1 through 3 teaches that the new moon is not one of the 6 working days. It's a worship day. It's a sacred, holy day. And it's not a strict no work day like the weekly Sabbath, but it's still a worship day nonetheless. Now, Psalms 104:19 says he appointed the moon, or ordained the moon for Moeds. The weekly Sabbath is a Moed, But anyhow, the moon is for appointments. And we should, you know, that should be the end of the debate right there. We should find out how the moon is for appointments. Now, last week we had talked, and I kept asking Brother Jerry. As a matter of fact, on this same broadcast live last week, Brother Jerry, he said that the 15th wasn't a weekly Sabbath in Exodus 16. And then he turned around and said they got quail on the 15th and it couldn't be a weekly Sabbath. Then he said they got manna in the morning for breakfast on the 16th. Now, I don't want you going my time, Brother Jerry, but is that right? The 16th was first day of manna. That's what you said last week, right? Just yes or no question.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. My phone, that was...
Okay, did you hear me?
The 15th, y'all were fed the children of Israel.
Jerry, I don't want you to take up my time. Just answer his question.
He fed the children of Israel.
Jerry, please, don't take up my time. Just answer yes or no. Didn't you say the first day of manna was on the 16th, the weekly Sabbath wasn't on the 15th, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, here's the point I want to make. If the 16th is the first day of manna, like Jerry and I both agree, that means that was the first day of the week on the 16th, which is tomorrow after the Sabbath, 15th. Now, that's going in my ear. But anyhow, if they got manna on the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, the 21st day of the month would be the 6th day of manna. Therefore, you didn't find it the next day because he said that's the holy Shabbat. Now, if Jerry acknowledged that the 16th is the first day of manna and you count backwards from the 22nd, which was the holy Shabbat, when it was first made known to Moses, that's Exodus 16th chapter, counting backwards, the 15th has to be a weekly Shabbat. It wouldn't matter if they was building log houses on that day. Of course, we don't believe they got quail on that day because verse 13, Exodus 16, 13 says that when evening came, or Arab, at evening, the quail came. So they couldn't eat no quail on the 15th because it didn't come till evening, Arab, and then they eat the quail between the evenings. See, there's two between the evenings, folks. A lot of people don't know about this.
Alright, that's your time, Brother
Hall.
Okay, Brother Jerry.
Okay. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Alright. Of course, I'm Brother Jerry, and we do appreciate being on here. To defend the truth, because we definitely believe that the lunar Sabbath, not the Sabbath, but the lunar Sabbath that's being taught today, is an error. First of all, the lunar Sabbath has no foundation. You know, if you're gonna jump over the book of Exodus, you first gotta get started in Genesis. And they can't do it. And Exodus, matter of fact, we called on that this weekend. And he's asking a question that he's never even answered to disprove it. First of all, there is the 15th. He keeps saying there's two evenings. Now he's gotta disprove. What he needs to do is get him a Hebrew Bible and disprove what I'm saying first. Because the scripture plainly teaches the vain harboring. It ain't used but 11 times. And every time it's used, it only means at 3 o'clock. Matter of fact, the Bibles today, most of them will translate in the afternoon, Hebrew Bibles will. In other words, Yahweh fed the children of Israel on the 15th. And he keeps saying that ain't a 15th. It was not a vain harbinger. But he's wanting me to answer a very simple question. First of all, I want him to disprove that was not a vain harbinger over there. He needs to give him something stronger than a Strong's Concordance. Because all a Strong's Concordance does is takes you to a root word. And that's what he needs to do. If he wants me to answer his question, I just answered his question. Yahweh sent the children of Israel on the 15th. The same way Yahweh ended the manner is the same way you started it. So, I would like to, first of all, I'd like to get where I'm telling them wrong, that's the 15th. I'd like them to disprove that. I mean, you know, this is really what it's all about. Because there's not two evenings, or as in between. There's not two, there's only one. But there's also only one vein or beginning, what means in between the evenings. And what he needs to do is find him something to disprove what I'm saying. Because Yahweh did feed the children of Israel on the 15th day. And we're gonna deal with some verses. Because my whole purpose on here is to disprove the lunar Sabbath. Not the true Shabbat. Now, I'm not raising up against the Sabbath. I'm talking about this lunar Sabbath, which is really, it all has something to do with the same ones that come in that attacked the Sunday that went from the first day of the week to the Sunday. And, you know, all you've got to do is search the scripture. That's all you've got to do. But first of all, in Genesis is a problem. I mean, they really have a problem. Because, see, I feel like you got to prove what you got. You got to get started first. And they can't even, I'm telling you, they can't get out of Genesis because they do not believe that God will bless and sanctify a particular day. That's just bottom line. They do not believe that God will bless and sanctify the seventh day. I've got two calendars, matter of fact, it's on our website. I'm hoping it's going to be up sometime, maybe one day this week. I'm not 100% sure. But I've got two different calendars from two different lunar people. Both the calendars disagree, but they both do agree on one thing. They do agree that there was an eighth day that God was sanctified or was supposed to. But they were drawn up different. And we're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with that. And Brother Hall, he's got the right. He can deal with anything he wants to. He wants the answer. I want him to give me this proof.
All right, that's time, Brother Jude.
Okay.
That's time, Brother. Okay, Brother Hall, go ahead.
Okay.
Brother Jerry, you said that if we can prove. Now listen, a mathematical count, figures don't lie. You remember the old saying God told us we used to wait on the name. Figures don't lie, and liars don't figure. Figures never lie, and liars never figure. Now, verse 12, Exodus 16, turn over our people and look at Exodus 16 and 12. Yahweh said, I've heard the murmurs of the children of Israel, speaking to them saying, at evening, that's Baharim, that's between the evenings, you shall eat flesh. And in the morning, not the next day, not the 15th, then the next day on the 16th, but in the morning, you shall eat flesh and know that I am your mighty one. Listen to verse 13. This is a catch of what they're not seeing. This is what you ain't seeing, Brother Jerry. And it came to pass that evening, the quails came up and covered the camp. In other words, that's when the quails land. That word there is the word Erev, means the ending of the day. That's not between the evenings. That's a different, totally different Hebrew word. The quails don't come in at 3 o'clock and land and roost and all. They came in that evening, it said, and it came to pass. See, they're discussing it, Jerry, between 16 and 12. Now it says, and it came to pass at evening, the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning of the same day, the day ended at evening, on the 15th at evening, quails came up, and in the morning, not the next day, the same 16th, they got their manna. And that was on the 16th. Now listen, Jerry, count this. They got manna the first day was 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21. That's the 6 days of manna. The sixth day of manna was on the 21st day of the month. And he said that you won't find it. The next day is the Holy Shabbat. Well, what was the next day, Brother Jerry? Wasn't it the 22nd? He said they got together at a certain rate daily for 6 days. And then he said, tomorrow, verse 23, he said to them, this is that what Yahweh said, Tomorrow is the rest of the Holy Shabbat. Now this is, he said this on the 21st. See, verse 22 said, it came to pass that on the sixth day, that's the 21st, they gathered twice as much bread, two homers, one man. And the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said, this is what Moses said, unto them, this is that which Yahweh has said. Tomorrow, talking about the 22nd, is the Holy Shabbat, Brother Jerry. And if you count back from the 22nd, the 15th was the Holy Shabbat also. And that's why I say they didn't eat quail on the 15th, because it says in 16:13, and it should come to pass at evening, the quail shall come up, or quail came up and covered the camp. Not at 3 o'clock. So there is a two, between the evenings, before sunrise, there's a between the evenings at the going down of the sun. That's the time the Messiah was killed, and the Passover was killed. Is Deuteronomy says in Deuteronomy 16, they kill the Passover on the 14th day at the going down of the sun. See, the sun reaches its apex at 12 o'clock and it starts its down. There's a between the evenings there. But this right here in Exodus 16 shows there's a between the evenings before sunrise. A lot of people, I said, don't know that, and I can understand Brother Jerry's dilemma here. But math don't lie. The first day of manna, Jerry admits, was on the 16th. Count it for yourself, people. They do not want to have a weekly Sabbath falling on the 15th. That's why they go over to Joshua and all try to say it's on the 14th, which got the wave sheaf being waved on the 15th, which is unheard of in history or scripture anywhere. This is what they have to do. Instead of hunting for the truth, they're trying to disprove something and answer a matter before they hear it. And this is what we're here today to do. That's point number three. And I think he appointed, let's see, 1 and 2 in Psalms 104:19, he appointed the moon for appointments. And you cannot take the new moon and count it as an ordinary work day according to Ezekiel 46:1-3. Amos 8:5 said, when will the new moon be gone that we can buy corn? In other words, you got 6 days to labor to do all your work, but once a month you wouldn't have but five, because the new moon, you can't buy and sell. The merchants would be in trouble. They would only have 5 days to buy and sell. This is why we tell you, like in Isaiah 66:23, he said, from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh going to come worship on these days. They're worship days. They're
not. All right, that's time, Brother Hunt. Okay, Brother Jerry.
All right. I'm going over to the book of Joshua here in just a minute. I'm going to, evidently, Brother Arm is still not looking on his words right. He needs to get out the Strong's Concordance, because he just said that. Now, I think he said, I'm not sure. I believe he said that he believed the 12th verse was Dane Harbayim, which it was. And if it was, that means that Yahweh fed the children of Israel at Dane Harbayim, and the 13th verse is still using, it's not using the word Arab, it's using the word Arab. And let me take you to a word, the word's used. Still the same word, that word right there that we were just talking about, it's used about two or three times in the book of Exodus, right there in Exodus 16th chapter, right there. That same word, and that word right there is not talking about when you start an evening. In other words, when you start a day. Let me take you where that word is used out of Exodus. Because, see, first of all, you can't have a being fed. See, the quail come up in the evening. What he's talking about there was the evening at Bain Harbayim. That's what the 13th verse is telling you. Because the Dane Harbayim, and I'm going to tell you why it proves that. This word is used over in the book of Deuteronomy 16:4. And it says, and there shall be no bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh with thy sacrifice the first day at evening. That's the same word that's over there in the 13th verse,
and the, I think it's the 8th verse of the 16th of Exodus. And you know where, see this word here can be, once the word's been established, they understand that this word here is in at 3 o'clock. It's how this word's being used. Because it was used with Bain Habayim in another verse. So you ain't gonna have it at Bain Habayim and then turn around. God will bring the children of Israel bread, quail, in the evening of the 16th. And also this word again is used in 16 and 16, where it says, but at the place which Yahweh by Elohim, or the King James says, God, shall choose to place his name in. There thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at evening at the going down of the sun. The long just said he agreed that that's Bain Habayim, which used, but it's not. It's the same word that's over in the 13th verse and the 8th verse. That's in the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. And what this is showing you, it goes on, it says, at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. Now the sacrifice, we know, the Passover was at evening, at the going down of the sun. The sacrifice at the Passover was really at Bain Habayim. So he still got to disprove his word, and he hadn't done it. I'm going to put this word on our website with all these words and show you the difference between them. But I see what I want to do. I want to go over. I'm going over to the book of Joshua here in just a minute. But I want to deal with something that I feel like is very important to you folks that's listening. You're always hearing about the Sadducees and Pharisees. And I feel like this is very important. You always hear them always talking about Philo, Josephus, and all these different ones that are lunar Sabbath keepers. You go over to Philo, you're going to hear Philo talk about a man named John Hyrcanus, I think is how you say his name. He was a Pharisee who later on became a Sadducee. This man here, his father was Simon Maccabee, who was known as the Maccabees. His father is the first one that actually rebelled because of what happened about the war, about them coming in on Israel. His father's name was Matthias Ben Yochanan.
All right, that's time, Brother Jerry.
Okay. How much time will we get?
5 minutes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, here's what we got, Brother Jerry. It's obvious that we don't see the Hebrew words alike, so let's we both surely can count. Now, Jerry, let's say that you're 100% right. They were eating on the 15th, and they ate quail on the 15th, and you say that they wouldn't have been doing that, and I agree, on a week of Sabbath, but I disagree. So to prove whether it was a Sabbath or not, let's go to the first day of manna. It's the 16th. You and I agree on that, right, Jerry? Are you listening or just figuring out what you're going to say next? Jerry?
Go ahead, I'm listening. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm listening.
I take that as a yes, that 16th was the first day of manna, Jerry. Okay, the second day of manna was the 17th. The third day of manna was the 18th. The fourth day of manna was the 19th. The fifth day of manna was the 20th. The sixth day of manna was the 21st. And I read you a while ago that the next day, which would be the 22nd, is the Holy Shabbat. That's thus saith the word of Yahweh. He said, you will not find it on that day. That's the Holy Shabbat, Brother Jerry. So if the first day of manna was the first day of the week, then the 15th was the seventh day of the week that came before it, because see, you got your 15th, and then on your 16th is the first work day, the first day they got manna on the 16th. So if the 16th is the first work day, then backing up one day is the seventh day of that week. To prove, further prove, lunar weeks, you see them all through there, especially when you go to the Septuagint, it makes it real plain. The first 2 weeks to count the Pentecost is the 16th. That's the first day of the week. Just like right here, this verse we're talking about here. It said, the morning of the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Well, Septuagint says, teaches that it's on the second day of unleavened bread. So does Josephus and Philo. So they were keeping lunar weeks. And always on the lunar week, Brother Jerry, the 16th, the first day of the week, just like it was here in Exodus 16. The first day of manna is the first day of the week. The 21st day of that month is the sixth day of the week. And the seventh day of that week is on the 22nd. Just like it was the seven Sabbaths of Pentecost, the first Sabbath's on the 22nd. Every year in the first month, the 22nd and then the 29th is your first 2 Sabbaths complete to Pentecost. But then if you start counting the new moon, after the 29th, the new moon comes in. If you count it as one of the 6 working days and switch over to a solar, see the solar, Roman pagan calendar counts the new moon. They don't honor the new moon. They count it as an ordinary work day, and that throws your next Sabbath into solar. But they didn't do it back then, Brother Jerry. And this is what we're trying to show you. And I know you're probably busy figuring what you're going to say next, but you need to be listening to me when I'm telling you that it don't matter if they were building log houses on the 15th. Because Holy Scripture says it was a weekly Sabbath. Of course, I don't believe they were getting quail on it, and I don't believe it. And then when you try to make this another day, then if you finally wind up seeing that it was, all you got to do is say it just happened to fall on that day. But then it's going to mess you up in the first month because the 15th was the Holy Sabbath in the first month also, because of Deuteronomy 5 and I think verse 5:15 or somewhere in there, it says, therefore remember the Sabbath day. That's the day that he gave them rest from Egypt's bondage on the 15th. They were thrust out there. So, you know, this is just math. It ain't got nothing to do with anybody can count to 6. But this is how tradition will blind people's mind and make you not even know how to count. It's just that bad. It's strong training. But all through the scripture, it talks about Sabbaths and new moons together. And I'll get it, 2 Kings 4:23. He said, why go today? It's neither new moon or Sabbath. No, it's right. A special day.
That's time to go. Okay, Brother Jerry.
All right. I was talking about the Sadducees and Pharisees. All right. You first got to understand the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Sadducees were the ones that taught. And actually, they're the ones that the Karaite Jews today kept up with their teaching. The Sadducees were the ones that, when a Passover come in, they done their count from the morrow after the weekly Shabbat. Whatever day the Passover, if the Passover was on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, on a Monday, they would wait till the weekly Shabbat to do their count for Passover to bring in the Omer offering. The Sadducees, that's what they done. Now the Pharisees were the ones. Now Josephus, I'm not sure about Philo, but Josephus was a Pharisee. The Pharisees taught the Shabbat the same way the Sadducees did. They had no argument over the Shabbat. They were not keeping lunar Sabbath. But the Pharisees, it wouldn't matter if the Passover come in on a Sunday, a Monday, or ever what. Now, if it come in, let's just say on a Monday, well, that would be the 14th, and you had the 15th, what would be the Mikra Kodesh. Well, the 16th, that's what they would count every time at the 16th.
Pentecost, they would do their own offering. Okay, then once you have understand that, they had two schools back then in D.C. This was in D.C. now, these two schools were. These two schools, one of them was called the House of Shammai, and the other was the House of Hillel. Unless you understand this, and see, this is what they're not pointing out. They think that Josephus was a lunar Sabbath keeper. He was not. If you go back to the history, I'm going to show you some history here. These two houses, the House of Shammai and the House of Hillel, were Pharisees.
Yesterday keeps calling me, calling me home. Mountains rising in my soul, higher than the dreams I've known. Misty eyes, they cling to me like Smoky Mountain memories. An old gray man, the sleep of his feet, plays a worn-out fiddle full of melodies. He smiles, his eyes, but the lines on his face told me as much as the tunes he plays. Talking about my Smoky Mountain memories, three girls from Tennessee. I was such a fool.
Okay, folks, we here, and we got disconnected there for just a second. We may have to do some of this again next week, Brother Jerry.
Well, I tell you what, they're going to hear mine. I'm going to get them. I'm going to teach all that what you want to hear next week.
Okay. Well, let me go ahead.
Some stuff on this. Go ahead.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and take my 5 minutes. You ready, man?
All right. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, first of all, I want to say, and then I'm going to come back and deal with these scribes and Pharisees, but you made a big play while ago on the words there in Exodus 16. You said that word, Ba'erb there, when I said verse 13, Exodus 16, 13, and I said the quails didn't come to Ba'erb, and that's talking about evening at the end of the day. And you said, no, that's not talking about that. But let me show you how it is talking about it, Brother Jerry. In Exodus 12:18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, that word is Ba'erb, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month, at evening. That means that the 15th is the first day of unleavened bread, but it begins on the 14th day at Ba'erb, or evening, end of the day, which begins the 15th. It's the same identical Hebrew word there. You correct me if I'm wrong, but if it is right, then that shows that the quail came up in Exodus 16, verse 13, at evening, by herb, same as just like the Passover begins, the first day of unleavened bread begins on the 14th day by herb at evening. Now, so the quails did not get there until the end of the 15th, and I have conclusively proved that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the 22nd in Exodus 16 was the Holy Shabbat, because the 21st was the 6th day of manna. You admitted that the 16th is the first day of manna, which is the first day of the lunar week, and the 21st would be the 6th day of the lunar week, and the 22nd was the 7th day, the Holy Shabbat. So, it's just a play, really a play on words. Whenever you do the math, it reveals these things. Now, as far as the scribes and Pharisees, actually, they were so debate. The Messiah kept the same Sabbath as they did.
you have no documented proof like we do, the Septuagint, Philo, Josephus, all of these support the Sadducee count or the count. They all counted from the 15th. In other words, the Moed of the Shabbat is the Moed of the 15th. It's the Moed of the week of Sabbath. Why don't you accept the Septuagint? It clearly teaches that the 16th is the first day of the week of the count to Pentecost. You count seven Sabbaths, but they're lunar Sabbaths. Your first day of the week is the 16th. Your seventh day of the week is the 22nd. And then the 23rd is the first day of the week. And the seventh day of the second week is the 29th. Then your new moon comes in. You don't count it. Then your next Sabbath will be on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. You've got to look at. We accept both the Hebrew and the Septuagint because they do not contradict. The Moed of the Sabbath is the Moed of the 15th. The Hebrews, that's how they could arrive at Pentecost on the same day, because they started to count from the same Moed of the same Sabbath, which is the Moed of the 15th. That's when in Book of Acts, the day of Pentecost had fully came, they were there on the same day. Now, had they been keeping two different Sabbaths, the Pharisees, Sadducees, these priests in the temple didn't have no special meeting for somebody that decided to count different. They didn't just wake up one day and not know how to count the Pentecost. This all came about out of the destruction of the temple, and they got scattered, and then, you know, people lost it. He said he would cause it. Lamentation 2:6 said, I'll cause them to forget the Sabbath. And that's what they've done. They're keeping a bogus, erroneous Sabbath 1-7 on a Roman pagan calendar that don't have Yahweh's holy days. So, dear, this is a big embarrassment to the doctrine of 1-7, like a hamster in a cage type count. And I know we've all been there. It is the best choice between Saturday and Sunday, but it's only going to work if that was the calendar they were using. They were using a solar lunar calendar, but the heathen calendar today is just strictly solar. Your year solar, your month solar, your weeks are solar, and your days are solar. You got to put the moon back in there somewhere. Julius Caesar took it out in 46 B.C. You can look in any encyclopedia.
All right, good time, Brother Hall. Okay, Brother Jason.
All right. Go back to the Pharisees and Sadducees. All right, the Sadducees were against really the Pharisees and vice versa. All right, even in the Talmud, you have to remember, Josephus knows all about them. Now, the Talmud was put together, but he knows all about this teaching. This teaching was done in B.C. It was not done in A.D. This teaching, these two houses taught in A.D., in B.C. I'm going to read it again where it says, talking about in B.C., in these two houses, that taught this. This is if a moon falls on a Shabbat. This is what Beit Shammai ruled. That they have to do a certain thing. And then also the school of Hillel did the same thing. They had certain things they wanted to agree on. But they all agreed on it. So it didn't look like they were keeping no lunar Shabbat. Not if the Shabbat could fall on, the moon could fall on the Shabbat. Also, in the Mishnah says this, talks about if the 16th, and you see that 16th, that's because they call the 16th. If the 16th falls on a Sabbath, this is the Mishnah reading this, or saying this as I read it. Now, and then once it did, they'd done some things different. They had a ruse to do something different because this 16 here has a Shabbat on it. Well, now, if this was a lunar Sabbath teaching, then the Shabbat should have fell on the 15th. The 5th should have been the 15th and not fell on the 16th. Now, this is some of the stuff I'm telling you about. Here's Mishnah again. The Mishnah again, this is the two schools that they keep telling you that Josephus and the Messiah and all them. Listen, Messiah knew all about these schools. Messiah didn't keep a lunar Sabbath.
here is the Mishnah. It's given witness. I'm only reading part of it because of time. But this is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. This is on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. When it falls on a Shabbat. Now, wait a minute. This don't sound like this is not usual then, in other words. This is not usual. Something's not right here. See, these ain't lunar Sabbath believers. This was stuff that was given record in B.C. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This stuff that was given record in B.C. Now, I want to go to the book of Josephus. Josephus himself, being a Pharisee. It says right here in the book of Josephus, the Antiquity of the Jews. It says, this it talks about the Passover. It talks about the Pentecost. Of course, it talks about the 14th day when they would, when they do the sacrifice. Then you drop on down, it starts talking about that on the Passover. Falls on the 15th. In other words, this is the day after Passover, what this is saying. It didn't say the Passover. This is the Passover and falls on the 15th, the unleavened bread, in other words. This is what it talks about, the unleavened bread. Then he separates the Passover and the unleavened bread here. So he says the unleavened bread falls on the 15th. We're all in agreement with that. But then what they would do, the 16th, see, Josephus operated under the Pharisee rule of Shammai in that day in B.C. when they knew that if a Sabbath fell on the Feast of Tabernacles fell on the Shabbat, or when the 16th falls on the Shabbat, or if a new moon falls on the Shabbat. These were not lunar Sabbath keepers. Now, if you go over to the book of Josephus, also Josephus and him kept a Pentecost, that they counted their Pentecost from the 16th. That's the difference. Alright, it talks about when a week of weeks have passed over. This is which contains 49 days, and on the 50th day. Then he talks about, it was called Pentecost. Alright, now, I don't know if my time's going to let me do it, but I'm going to get over here to a man that was what I started out with, known as John Hyrcanus, who was a Pharisee. Now, this particular man...
That's Jerry.
Okay.
I'm sorry, brother.
That's all right. Go ahead, brother.
That's all right. Okay. All this Pharisee, it's a smoke screen. It's not this. Look. These postponements and all, if you ever wondered what brought on the postponements and now all of a sudden the Sabbath's going to fall here and the next day, a day of atonement, this, and so we're going to have to make some adjustment. Well, with lunar Sabbath, this never happened. They never, Moses and all of them, the scripture don't teach nothing about no postponements. So something had to have happened to bring on postponements because originally, the Sabbaths would not fall on the Day of Atonement. But with the floating Sabbath that Julius Caesar introduced in 46 B.C. and finally took hold, it came about. Therefore, they had to start doing something because they knew that wasn't right. But before they got off the lunar Sabbath, you didn't have this problem. Now, we want to say something here. If the count to Pentecost was different between the Sadducees and Pharisees, In the B.C. era, why is this difference not recorded in the New Testament? Think about that. They kept the same Pentecost according to the book of Acts. They were there on the same day because they both began to count from the morning after the weekly Sabbath, which was the morning after the 15th. And that's why they were there. See, they read from the Septuagint. They didn't read English. The proselytes from Egypt and everywhere, all the proselytes, they were there on the day of Pentecost at the same time. And there's no indication that there was a different count when we read Acts chapter 2. And the Talmud, you talk about the Talmud and the Mishnah, they were not pinned down until around the 5th century A.D. That's way too late to prove anything, Brother Jerry. Way too late. That's after the fact. That's after the deed has been done. That's like them Democrats up there and all them people in Congress, you know, they don't want to answer these questions and stuff. But anyhow, why can't you prove you saved your Sabbath from Scripture? Why can't you go and I find the first day of the week in Scripture? Because it's not there. And you can't find the seventh day of the week in Scripture because you've got to go to the lunar. Now, I want to go back to the foundation here in Psalms 104:19. Said he appointed the moon for Sabbath. Think about it. Genesis 1:14. He said, let them talk about the great lights, these four appointments. You week the Sabbath is an appointment. I want to read right here in Ezekiel 46:1. Thus saith Yahweh. This ain't Ezekiel talking. The gates of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut for 6 working days. But on the Sabbath it shall be open. And in the day of the new moon it shall be open. Verse 3. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before Yahweh in the Sabbath, more than one, and in the new moons, more than one. Not just the seventh new moon. But this is what thus saith the word of Yahweh is. This is why you Sabbath is on these days. You can't. Leviticus 23, verse 2 and 3, he said, these are my feasts, and it's after 6 working days. You've got to find these. These feasts is the same that Psalms says that he appointed the moon for feasts. This is an absolute fact. But when you skip over these scriptures and deny these scriptures, then it's really hurting everybody. What is called holding traditions of men and making the commandments of Yahweh of none effect. Yahweh commands us to keep the seventh day. There's a special day, and it comes after 6 work days, but it's counted from the new moon. Talk about Philo. Let's look at Philo. Whatever Sabbath Philo kept, the Messiah kept, and it says Philo kept the Sabbath counting from the new moon. Listen to the Decalogue, chapter 20, 96. Says, the fourth commandment has reference to the sacred seventh day, that it may be passed in a sacred and holy manner. Some states keep the holy festival only once in the month, counting from the new moon as a day sacred to Yahweh. See, he didn't say it was, wasn't a day sacred, holy day. He said, but the nation of the Jews keep every seventh day regularly after each intervals of 6 days. Now, we keep, after 6 intervals, we got a new moon, worship day, 6 intervals, we keep a Sabbath. Then we got 6 more intervals, work days, we keep a Sabbath. We do this over and over and over again. We keep every seventh day after 6 day intervals, just like Philo did here. Now, how did these people, these states, keep the sacred? They only kept the 8th day of the month. They counted from the new moon, and they kept the 8th day after 6 day intervals. You got your new moon. Count from new moon, 6 day intervals, they kept the 8th day. They only kept one Sabbath per month. But, okay. Alright. Okay, going back over, I'm going to read something here from Josephus real quick. Josephus again tells about the man I've seen by John Hyrcanus. Alright. Hyrcanus. Who was a Jew. Alright, now listen to this. This man here was a Pharisee. He got converted over to Sadducee. But I'm going to read something here that Josephus brings out. This is the book of Josephus. This is also in Antiquity of the Jews. Now, this is one reason, again, that you know that in Josephus and in time, there was the Pharisees and Sadducees were debating on when the numbering of Pentecost. It says right here, man, listen to this. Josephus is counting from the 16th will not fall on the morrow after Shabbat. But this is what he says here. He says, talks about the next day, for that festival which is called Pentecost, did then fall out to be the next day to the Shabbat. Now, you know what this is telling you? This is showing you the two laws that really the Pharisees and Sadducees were arguing around with. That's what they were doing. They were arguing around. Now, I want to go to the book of the book of Joshua real quick. Over in the book of Joshua, let me get my paper here. In the book of Joshua, you
you're going to find that when the, hold on, let me get right here, pull it up here. I thought I had my paper here, but I hadn't got it here, but either way. Okay, over here in the book of Joshua, in the 10th verse, now you read this for yourself in the 10th verse. In the 10th verse, it says, 5 and 10, it says, and the children of Israel, encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day. Now, that is talking about keeping the Passover at a certain time. This Passover now. Keeping it at a certain time. Now, this Passover that it's talking about, if you go and read, like, as a matter of fact, some of your, like the Tanakh, matter of fact, the Tanakh in them, it reads, when you study it, it explains that in it, this 14th had a sacrifice on this 14th day. Now listen, on this 14th day in Joshua. Matter of fact, we'll read from it. Listen, children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and performed the Passover offering on the 14th of the month in the evening. When you go on and read some of the commentaries, they understand that this word here means between the evening. This same word here. This is a word called Ba'aret that they keep arguing and saying that it's not. Well, if you continue reading this, you also find that if this be true then, they could not even eat. Now listen to this. They could not even eat of the produce of the land until they had done the Omer offering according to the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, I think it's the 14th verse. So since, in other words, since the Israelites had eaten the produce of the land, now listen to this, the day after the Passover, they're required not to eat no produce of the land. They cannot eat no product of the land until they do an Omer offering. The Bible says that they eat it on the morrow after the 14th, which would have been the 15th, and also the manna fell twice after the 14th. Because the 14th was a Shabbat. There's no law that teaches only the morrow after the Shabbat. That's what it's talking about. The 16th is not always the morrow after Shabbat. So when you begin to look at this...
That's time, Brother Jerry.
All right.
Okay, Brother Arnold.
Brother Jerry, let me correct you here, Brother. You said they kept the Passover on the 14th day at even. That word is by Arab. Well, it's the same identical word, Brother Jerry, is Exodus 12:18, which teaches you to keep the Passover on the 14th day at evening. It's unleavened bread. It's the first day of unleavened bread. In other words, it's from the 14th day at evening, same words you quoted over in Joshua, until the 21st day at evening. So see, they kept it on the 14th day at evening, which is the beginning of the 15th. There's no, you would have them waving the wave sheaf on the 15th, and that's unheard of. And, you know, think about this, Jerry. If the wave sheaf is on the 15th in Joshua 5, that would completely contradict the Septuagint in Leviticus 23, where it says, on the morrow of the first day. That, you look it up. And it would also contradict the way that most of the Jews, according to even Samuel Bakayoko, who wrote the book From Sabbath to Sunday, said that they kept it from, they counted from the 16th, the morning of the, what he calls the high Sabbath. Of course, we believe the morning of the 15th is the morning of the week of Sabbath. And this is when they weighed the sheep on the 16th. And this is what they done in Joshua. And they couldn't eat it, like you said, they couldn't eat it till later. See, the manna, I proved, and you even admit, that the first day of manna was on the 16th, 40 years later, it ended on the very same day on the 16th. You got to end it on the 15th. That wouldn't be 40 years. You got to have 44 years. If it began on the 15th there in Exodus 16, which puts the Sabbath on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th, this is why we can offer a $10,000 reward to anybody that can pinpoint a weekly Sabbath on any other day. So, you know, this is really, you haven't done your homework. You've got to go and study and quit trying to disprove it and just try to see if it's right or wrong. Now, you got the Septuagint, Josephus, Philo, and everybody that read from the Septuagint. You read your preface in your Septuagint. It says that the early Christians read from the Septuagint. Most of all of the Old Testament quotes are from the Septuagint. So these people counted from the morrow after the 15th. That puts the 15th, not the 14th, the week of Sabbath over there in Joshua. It's just an absolute. But anyhow, you know, it's debate. You sure you don't want to go another round? Because we ain't going to get through all this. But anyhow, go to Deuteronomy 5:15. It talks about the first month was a Sabbath on the 15th, in the first month when they left Egypt. And Exodus 16, I proved that the 15th in the second month was a weekly Sabbath also. That's two Sabbaths in a row on the 15th. And this is impossible with the traditional Roman 1-7 count, because when you get to the new moon, they'll count it as a work day, and it'll put your Sabbaths on the 14th in the second chapter of Exodus. And then I could go on and be too deep for most people, but there was a weekly Sabbath on the 15th in the third month in Exodus 19 chapter when they came to the mount over there, because they had departed from Rephidim, which is plural for rest. They had rested on the 15th, and Jubilees, and I agree, they got there on the 16th, which was the Moed of the Sabbath. And that's when they came to the mount. That's Jubilees 1:1. And so you just got so much irrefutable proof that the 15th is a weekly Sabbath. Even Josephus, even Philo calls it the seventh day of 7 days. But if I got time, let me read a couple of, how many minutes I got, Matthew?
40 seconds.
How much?
40 seconds.
I can't read much in 40 seconds. But anyhow, I got so much quotes from Philo, where he even calls the seventh day, the moon has to do with the seventh day. I read it on in Allegory Interpretations, chapter 1, chapter 4:8, and he talks about the number 7 and connects it with the moon. He says on each seventh day, it makes its configuration. I'll read that my next go around. How many seconds?
10 seconds.
Man, I could have read it probably. But anyhow, Brother Jude, go ahead. You can have my
time. All right, that's time. Go ahead, Brother Jude.
All right. Okay, still, you go to the book of Joshua and you deal with the 14th, where it talks about the 14th day and the marvel after the 14th. The marvel after the 14th ain't the 16th. The marvel after the 14th is the 15th. That's when they eat it. Then, after the 15th, the bread. In other words, the bread stopped on the 14th because it was Shabbat. It failed for 2 days. It failed evidently. It didn't cease till the morrow after, which would be after the 15th that they had eaten. Then that means the manna failed 2 days afterwards. It couldn't have ceased on the 15th, because if it had ceased on the 15th, it would have ceased on the 16th. Once you see that, first of all, see, what you would have something that is coming against the lunar Sabbath. Now, I'm going to go to the book of John real quick. In other words, they keep saying these words. See, if you ever have that word vain harpagene used in it can be used interchangeable once it's been used with the word by Arab. That's only, and this is proven through Scripture. Then, if the word's never been established by nothing, that word can be by us going to another that day. But it means in a particular time. You know, but you can read the verse and understand what it's saying. Once the word vain harpagene been used in that verse that shows that God will feed the children of Israel at 3 o'clock. In other words, at 3 o'clock, that's an evening. And not, you can't have between the evenings. Maybe never use the word Bain Harbin. That, you couldn't even use these other words, but the word Bain Harbin is used there. Okay. I'm going to go to the book of John. Real quick. Book of St. John. Go to the 7th chapter of John. Chapter 37 says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, God was still crying and saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Now, if you go to Leviticus, you're going to find out that this is the 8th day. I tell you what, I had somebody sent me, a Lunar Sabbath guy, sent me a CD and was teaching on this. And you would not believe how he twisted this up. Evidently, he'd been questioned on this. But either way, the 8th day here, if you go over to the book of Leviticus, it talks about the 8th day. The 8th day would be what you would call the 22nd. Alright, then as you continue reading, you know the Messiah talks about on the last day of the great day of the feast, that he stood crying and saying, he that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water. Okay, so, this here is what you would call the last day of the feast. You go to Josephus, you ought to see what Josephus says about this feast. This particular feast right here. He calls it the last feast of the year. He talks about the 8th day, the 22nd day. You read over in the book of St. John now. Now that's the 22nd of the book of, that right there is talking about in the book of St. John. Let me get over here. I'm going to turn over here real quick. I didn't know I was going to go here. But open the book of St. John, the 7th chapter. Matter of fact, if you go to the 8th verse, or the 8th chapter, which is closing out the 7 there, it says, early in the morning, he came again unto the temple. Now this, if you'll follow this, this very next day, that he goes to the temple, and you continue reading this, you will find that as the Messiah goes into the synagogue, this would be the 23rd day. Now, they have, which is a, I guess you would call it just a tradition, there's a day, what they call, Simchat Torah, which is reading of the Torah. But that really did not come out until about the 9th century, give or take. Right here, if you read this, you find out that in 914, it was a Sabbath day. This is the 23rd day. If you follow that from the 9th, from when the 8th comes in, and you keep up with that, you don't find another day nowhere coming in there. You find that this was the Sabbath day on the 23rd that fell. This was not part of the feast. The feasts were over with. The last day of the feast.
All right. That's time, Brother Sear.
You know, that's one of my pinpointed weekly Sabbaths. It proves it was on the 22nd day. The only way you can get it on the 23rd is with a bogus 8-day feast, and the scripture does not mention. This is first there in Nehemiah. That mentions, see, the 21st is the last great day of the feast. I think it's Nehemiah 8, I'm not sure. It's Nehemiah 8:18. It says they read into the book of the law from the first day until the last day. Now, let me say it again. First day to the last day of the feast, and it was on from the first day to the last day, 7 days, it said. Now, if the first day until the last day of the feast was 7 days, see, this 8th day was added in there by man. So that would put the weekly Sabbath that Brother Jerry's talking about on the 22nd, not the 23rd. But anyhow, now I challenge him to give me one scripture. I could give him 8 or 10 places in the scripture where it says the feast is 7 days, not 8 days. That's just another tradition of men. I would like to ask Brother Jerry, though, why he ignores that, if the feast, let me pull through that, the feast of tabernacles was 7 days long, and the last day is the 7th day, that's the 21st, not the 22nd.
You can't count again when you do that because the tradition makes you not be able to count, just like in Exodus 16. You can't count from the 16th to 21st is the sixth day. The next day is the 22nd on the Holy Shabbat. You ain't going to be able to count this either. But you know, it's from the first day to the last day. Read it. Nehemiah 8:18. And he read in the book of the law. And they kept the feast, it says, 7 days. And then on the eighth day, it says, was a solemn assembly. According to the manner. Look at word manner up. It means according to the law. See, the eighth day was where, that was the weekly Sabbath. But anyhow, if you think about this, why would somebody, what would make somebody not keep a new moon day? You know, in Ezekiel 46, 1 and 3, it says that Yahweh said there's three categories of days. You've got new moons, Sabbath, and ordinary six work days. It takes a strong tradition of men to make somebody count a new moon or a Sabbath as one of the six ordinary work days. That is really something. I would like to ask you, the new moon as one of the six working days after Ezekiel. You know, this was thus saith Yahweh. What would make somebody disobey a thus saith Yahweh itself, a tradition of men? That is really, it tell you, this is a strong doctrine. And he mentioned something over in Joshua 5. It don't say nothing about vain harrying in Joshua 5. Not even there. But anyhow, the Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days of the year, not 8 days. And let me read, Philo, he kept lunar Sabbaths. Here's what he said in Outdoor Interpretations, 1, verse, chapter 4, 8. Again, the periodical changes of the moon takes place according to the number 7. That star having the greatest sympathy with the things on earth, and the changes which the moon works in the air, it perfects chiefly in accordance with its own configuration on each seventh day. At all events, all mortal things, as I have said before, drawing their more divine nature from the heavens, are moved in a manner which tends to their preservation in accordance with this number 7. And if you read on a little bit further on down, it says, accordingly, on the seventh day, Yahweh, he got God here, caused to rest from all his work which he had made. You know, if the moon perfects chiefly each seventh day, he didn't say every 7 days, each seventh day. See, that's what the Greek speaking called it, the seventh day. Hebrew called it Shabbat. You know, in the intervals, after 6 day intervals, it'll perfect. You watch it sometime. But anyhow, there's another in the special laws 1:17, speaking of intervals. He said there is one principle of reason by which the moon waxes and wanes in equal intervals, both as it increases and diminishes in illumination. The 7 lamps receive the perfect shapes in periods of 7 days. The half moon in the first 7 day period after its conjunction with the sun. See, that shows it didn't count the new moon in this. One place he talks about 28 days, so he didn't count the new moon.
Count it all.
All right.
Okay, Brother Jude.
All right. You know, if you go over there and you read what the Messiah was talking about in the 7th chapter, where it talks about, it don't talk about last day only. It talks about the last day of the great day of the feast. Well, the last day of the great day of the feast, if you go to any, even Joseph, not Josephus, but Philo. See, if you read Nehemiah, it talks about the last day. But then it continues on, and it talks about the solemn assembly. That's where that solemn assembly, they were gathered together that day, which would, see, the last day of the seventh day was not the last day of the great day of the feast. The last day of the great day of the feast was the eighth day. That's why they were assembled there in Israel. That's why it says the last day of the great day of the feast, and they claim that this last day of the great day of the feast covered all of them. Matter of fact, even Philo talks about this. That this last day, this eighth day, covers it all. Not just the last day of the seven, but the last day of the great day of the feast, which would take you into the 23rd, where they have a Shabbat, is where it takes you into. All right.
you know that even in the book of Josephus, in fact, I was trying to find my paper here, the book of Josephus talks about, I mean, it specifically gives that the 23rd day was the Shabbat. It literally says that in the book of Josephus. If I can find the paper, but either way, I do what I want to do. I'll find it in a few minutes. I want to show you something first about a foundation. Nowhere Philo talks about that it governed the Shabbat. No way, where you cannot read nowhere that the Sabbath itself was ever governed by Josephus or Philo or any of them. When you go over to, let me tell you, if you go to the book of Genesis, you start in the book of Genesis, and I was to ask you a question. Give me the foundation of the Shabbat day, the day that is in the tables of stone. See, we can sit here all night long and go back and forth, back and forth, because every scripture I give him, he's going to try to throw out, and every one he gives me, I'm going to throw out. If I think it's wrong. In the book of Genesis, I got a calendar. I would like to know. See, you can't, it's no even no sense. See, if you go to the book of Genesis, you've got to find your Shabbat. Why is it that they keep always quoting the 46th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, 6 working days? Why is it that on a Passover, you have the 14th, then they claim the 15th is their Shabbat. Then, if you count 7 days from, if you count 7 days from the 15th, that would give you the 21st day. Alright, now, what does a lunar Sabbath person do? This is the problem they have. They have a break within their week. Then if their next day has missed their week up, how can they have a Shabbat? So they're the ones that have taught this, that you cannot have a break within your Sabbath. But the very next, after the 21st, would become their 22nd in a Passover. Also in the Feast of Tabernacles. Then, what they would have, you would have a Mikra Kodesh, or what they would call a Sabbath on the 15th. When you come to the 21st day, they have a Mikra Kodesh, or what they would call a Sabbath. Well, the very next day would be supposed to be their week of Sabbath. Their cycle's been broken. Their 6 work days have been broken. Then when you go to the Feast of Tabernacles, then you start off on the first day of the week. Now, where would you go in the book of Genesis to show the Feast of Tabernacles or any of them? Where would you put your first day for the first day of the moon to count your Feast of Tabernacles, or Passover, if you're the lunar Sabbath keeper. If you count from the, see, this is how there it works every month for them. The first day of the month is always a new moon day. The second day is always a work day. Then if you count from that 2, you come up to number 8. Then that would be a Sabbath for them. Then you go 9 and 10, then all of a sudden,
that's time, Brother Jerry.
Alright, go ahead.
Alright, Brother Arnold.
Alright. What I'd like...
Three minute closing. What I, 3 more minutes to peace.
Alright, what I'd like to say is, first of all, there's no 8-day feast in Scripture. And I throw that out because it's not Scripture, but if you look in Leviticus 23, 34, and 36, 39, 40, 41, 42, also in Numbers 28, 17, Second Chronicles 7:9. But anyhow, let's see, Numbers, I think it's 12, 28, 17. But what else, Deuteronomy 16:13 and 15. But you know what? The whole thing is, and I won't fit my website on here because in case I run out of time, go to my website and study this, people. You owe it to yourself and your family to search this out. Website is lunarsabbath.info. LUNARSABBATH.INFO. Check all this out. Genesis 1, and you can call as soon as this broadcast is over too, or call me anytime. Air code 770, phone number is 483
770-483-8542. 770-483-8542.